Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, August 14th, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter, at Chris Lambert. This is episode 233. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here in my apartment that I should be cleaning up. But instead, I'm talking to you and providing you with a quality podcast on a Monday morning. My apologies for the show being late. I was working on a bunch of premium content that you can find on the Patreon page. How about that? You can sign up, subscribe. It's only $3 a month, and you can get the premium content. Right now, there's three episodes up there. There's one just a solo episode of me talking, and then there's one of me breaking down one of my favorite films of 2017, Columbus. And I just uploaded an episode this past weekend, a couple days ago, on the movie Brigsby Bear with comedian Jeff Cerulli. So if you interested in that, come on over to the Patreon page. It's going to be more than me just talking about indie movies, but right now that's what we got going on. And it's funny. It's some funny stuff. It's some cool stuff. I've nerded out about it. This week, I'm going to be talking to a friend of the podcast, J.L. Covan. We're going to be talking about Wind River. So I'm excited to talk to J.L. and then share that premium J.L. Covan content with you. And got a guest coming that I'm going to be talking to next week, hopefully. And so there's some good things. Some good things happening right now. I do not know how long this episode is going to be. One, because my battery, I think I only have one. This is my last set of batteries that I have. And I have two out of four bars on my recorder. I tried to get a new AC adapter a week ago. I didn't do anything. I just didn't leave my apartment on Sunday most of the day. And I was like, I should go to Micro Center and just try to find an AC adapter to plug into my recorder because I left it in Cape May, New Jersey a couple of months ago. And I've just been using batteries ever since. So I went on Sunday. First of all, like a place like Micro Center, it's a good place. I've gotten two computers from there. It's a fine place. But retail stores now, they're just there to sell you the stuff. It's like they don't have time to help you or anything. And then I had to return the AC adapter that I bought because it wouldn't work. They had all these little, what do you call it? Do you call the thing different plugs to see if it would fit? It's like 6 or 7 of them. It was a lot of them, and none of them worked. So I took it back and exchanged it. But while I totally understand why Amazon is taking over, because they're filling this void where all you have to do is just sit at your computer. You can get it on. You can download this stuff. You can order this stuff on your phone and have it within a day or two, within a couple of days. And these brick and mortar stores are wondering why nobody's coming there. And they're like, well, they're taking us out of business. So unless you're Walmart or like whatever, unless you're pretty much Walmart, Target, nobody's really going into your store. Now, granted, it was a shit ton of people at the Micro Center, But I think that's because it was on a... People will come in these stores, but for the most part, Amazon is still beating them because they have cheaper prices and they have what you need in stock. And especially what pisses me off is that nobody wants to help you at all. And when you ask for help, they look at you like you've insulted them. And it's not even being a dick, like say, hey, could you fucking help me? It's like, excuse me, can I get some help with trying to find a thing here? Nothing. And it sucks, man. Even when I got the computer that I bought, I think I did most of the research on my Christian Polanco. Shout out to Christian Polanco. He helped me. But then like I just looked it up and said, hey, can I get this? Can you just get this for me so I can get out of here and get this computer, you know? It bothers me because I used to do retail, and I know what it's like to do retail. It can become... I did it at Sears for a couple summers, and I worked at Best Buy for maybe like my whole two and a half, three years when I was in grad school. And if you're going to be there, just fucking be there, you know? And actually, when you're helping somebody, it makes the day go by faster. I always found if you have something to do, if you're just not looking at your watch all day or just like loafing around, helping somebody. I'm not saying I was a saint, like, oh, yeah, help you, but that's what you're there for. That's your job. Do your job. Your job is to help people, and then you wonder why people go to Amazon, and then you wonder why Best Buys are getting smaller and smaller, you know. But the last time I was at Best Buy, the guy did help me and get this charger, this phone charger that I have. But it just annoyed me, so I got to order the thing from Amazon and make it happen. I just thought I could just grab the thing real quick, but so it goes. What did I do this week? This one reason why the show is late is because last night, Sunday night, I went to the homie Paul Verzi's very first stand-up special taping from All Things Comedy. Bill Burr and Al Madrigal produced it. It was at the Tarrytown Music Hall. Really nice theater, really beautiful theater. And right after you get across the Tappan Zee Bridge, you take the first exit, and it's just like a little town, and it's like a big... the music hall is on Main Street, but I noticed, and I've driven through Tarrytown a few times. It's on a Sunday night. I've driven through Tarrytown on a Friday night, and I didn't see it as being as popping as it was this last night. It was it's a nice little town, man. I'm a fan of towns, whatever that means. I just like the vibe of people out, people eating, people drinking, people going to a show. Paul killed it. He did an hour and change, I want to say, but it didn't feel like it was that long. But he really proud of Paul. He's a good buddy and of mine, and he really did his thing. And it's gonna be dope. Whenever or wherever it comes out, maybe Netflix, HBO, I don't know, wherever they put out comedy nowadays. So it's gonna be there, and it's gonna be good. So I'm happy for Paul. He's a good dude. And got to see a lot of comics, hang out, talking after the show, had an after party, stayed out till, God, I got home at 4 o'clock. Yeah. So it was a long night. And then I had to get up early. I had to get up 2 hours later to move my car because everybody was parked in the parking lot. Probably shouldn't have been parked. So I had to park on the street, and then they tow your car or ticket you. If you're on the street, it's just a lot of, I don't know. But who cares? So I'll probably take a nap after this. But yes, yeah, so I had a great time seeing Paul do his thing. Very inspiring. It's a beautiful fucking night. It's good to see your pals do their thing. And got to see some people I hadn't seen in a long time. So that's good. Yeah. Comedy, what else in comedy? This week I did my second week in a row at UCB East doing Fresh Out. That was fun. So just always fun. Work, getting to work, work there, work out, do my thing. I'll be there again next week. And what other shows? So next week, then I'm doing a show at the Gaff West. What time is that? It would be helpful if I pulled up my website. The Gaff West at August 19th at 9 o'clock p.m. That's on a Saturday. Should be fun. Saturday night in New York City doing comedy? I mean, come on. What's better than that? Not much. So August 31st, I'll be at the Slipper Room, co-host, being a special guest co-host, filling in for Justin Brown, doing Medium Popcorn Live with Brandon Collins. We're discussing the film Juice. That's going to be a good time. Abby Crutchfield and Darren Patterson, both of them friends of the show. All three of those folks, Brandon, Abby and Darren, friends of the pod. And we're going to shoot the shit about Juice. We're going to have time, good time, and go. And we're at this. That's going to be at the Slipper Room on the Lower East Side, August 31st at 7 p.m. Big fun show. September 28th, I'll be at the Falcon Underground in Marlboro, New York, headlining that joint. It's going to be a good time. So come to that. If you're upstate, if you're near Poughkeepsie, I believe that's the Hudson Valley area, if I'm not mistaken. And also, this week, if you're a Patreon subscriber for Three Guys On, if you're listening to this, you're probably, I would assume that you listen to Three Guys On. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can hear me do Randolph Terrence's show, The Woke Files. And me and Randolph shot the shit, talked about some serious stuff, and me being the Mel Kiper of White Starlet. So you get a full range, full part of the spectrum of me. And yeah, Randolph and I had a good time. We did that Saturday. What else? Yeah, and we talked about a little bit about Charlottesville, because as we were recording, a bunch of stuff had started happening. So we didn't know about the, I don't know if we knew about the guy running. I don't think we knew about, yeah, the guy, the terrorist, the Nazi that injured all those people and murdered the young woman. It's horrible, man. It's not, I don't know what else to say, but it's almost like white people have to wake up now. It can't just be us people of color complaining about it. I kind of feel like I have to address it because it's a current event. It's something that just happened. But at the same time, I just started. You know what? Like, it made me, when I saw I'm Not Your Negro earlier this year, the James Baldwin doc, I was looking at that movie and I saw it at I've said this on the show before. I saw it at what I would say is probably, it is my favorite movie theater in the New York area, the Jacob Burns Film Center in Pleasantville, New York. Actually, I was talking to comedian Matt Koff, who writes for The Daily Show, and he and I were talking on Thursday, and we just said, yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I'm from Westchester, and we started talking about, yeah, I work up there, and blah, blah, blah. And Jacob Burns Film Center came up, and I was like, oh, do you ever go there? He's like, oh, it's my favorite place. And I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah. And I probably did say that it's my favorite movie theater in the city. Although I was there Friday afternoon, right, Friday at like 4 o'clock to see Wind River. And it was, I don't know why, I guess, Chris, what? What are you doing, buddy? It's one of their smaller theaters. It was Theater 3. I think they only have 3. Whatever. It's one of their smaller theaters, and it was packed. It was packed, so I kind of sat up close to the front, and I was in a row by myself pretty much. And then on the other end, some other people started coming in. And so the movie had just started, and there were these two middle-aged white women that came and sat down, and they like acted like they didn't want to sit by me. One of them did, and they moved over to the other side. And I was just like, "Eh, come on, really? Is this what we're doing?" I don't know. It's just, that's just fucking annoying to me. But anyway, as I digress, I saw I Am Not Your Negro at the Jacob Burns Film Center, and the clientele for that theater is mainly middle-aged white people to senior citizens. And I don't have a problem with that. I never feel like I'm out of place or anything. But as I was watching it, and as the movie ended, I was like, oh, this movie isn't really for me. It's for white people. And I felt the same way about Get Out, but more so I'm Not Your Negro. Like, it's an interesting movie. It's very informative. Get Out does similar things, but when I draw the parallels, I think it's movies that white people should see to make them conscious of what the black plight is, what the plight of people of color is in this country. And there was a line that near the end of the movie where he was saying, I'm not your nigger, but I don't see why you need me to be one. It's just like, you need me to be one to be superior. And the reason this whole thing started was because of they were going to remove a statue of Robert E. Lee, and these white nationalists, these Nazi folks, got upset, and that's what they were protesting. And I didn't know this was happening. I woke up to it Saturday morning. I thought it was over, and then the militia came, and then they did it again. Then the tragedy struck, and it's just what they're protesting. It just doesn't seem. It's like, okay, you've already won. You got the leader that you wanted. What are you so angry about? It's like I was talking about last week. Why you have this huge slice of pie, you see somebody else that's different from you get a sliver of that pie, of that American, quote unquote, American dream, if you will. And then that just makes you upset, and you go on a rampage, and you know, it's very disheartening. It's very disheartening. It just makes you feel, it just compounds the fact that, you know, we're not regarded as a people, a person, they don't have any empathy, or they don't regard me as equal. And it's disheartening, but I know who I am. I know I belong just as much as anybody else. And anybody else that looks like me, or anybody else that's from a different culture who is non-white. So it all goes back to empathy, man. And white people have to, if you don't like it, you have to do more about it. Cause it's getting to the point where it's way, way past the point where it's black people fight, black people and other minorities. It's not really our fight anymore. Not to say that we're going to stop fighting and all that, but it's time for our white brothers and sisters, our white allies, to do more than just write a poignant tweet or Facebook status update. We're getting past that point. So it's really up to them. And that's where it is right now. And it is also another reason for a lack of empathy. All right. So what else can I talk about today? NBA Live. NBA Live 2018. They just released a demo on Friday. And I downloaded. I was like, I want to see what's up. It's a free demo. I want to see what's good. They have not, it seems like EA Sports, for years, for most of my life, from childhood to my early and mid-20s, they have been the dominant force in making the best sports simulation games. They're it seems like they're more concerned with the like outside things of, what do you call it? Like the special features instead of like it seems like they care more about the side dishes than they do about the main course. Like you can the actual gameplay is just not good. It's like you have to do all these Street Fighter moves to execute simple dribbles that you could do in NBA 2K easily. I'm not that great in NBA 2K, but I don't have that much trepidation when I'm trying to do ball handling and all this stuff. It's just you have to do so many different moves just to dribble and just to be accepted. The players don't look that great. Granted, if this was like, if we had this technology and it was 10 years ago, yeah, I would say it was, and I'm not sounding pretentious. I'm not sounding like, it's just not good. It's not as good as the 2K series. And you can't take this time off and then, you know, try to come back and say, oh, we got the Rucker League. You can play the Drew League, and it's like you can be a street basketball player. You could build yourself up, and we got these storylines. We got all this cool stuff. We got Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman talking about your storyline. And it's like you can't even go, like when you first turn on the game, you can't say, oh, I want to play Golden State versus the Cavs. I want to be LeBron and I want to play against Steph Curry. You can't do that. You have to create a player, and then you have to I think you play one game, like a short game to really get you acquainted with everything. And after you do that, then you have to create a player, and then you have to style him. And it's like, yo, let me just play the game. And after you create the player, you got to text your friend. The storyline, you text your best friend, you think we can play? Like, you just have a fucking massive ACL injury and you're trying to come back, and they make your level like 70 and everybody's faster than you, and they just try to make it so fucking hard. That's one thing. Electronic Arts for the longest time has tried to make the game so complex, and they've done it with Madden too, but they try to make the game so complex that they take the fun out of it. Like it's not fun. Like I played it for a good hour and a half. It's not that it's not fun, but it's just like they just try to make it so hard. Like to dribble past somebody, to make layups. The gameplay is not good. And it's like you're missing, I'm a NBA level player. I'm missing point blank layups. Like just cause my guy's not James Harden, it just, all the players look the same. They just have like the faces different, and the movement is so awkward. Somebody took an Instagram shot of Klay Thompson making a jumper or a three or something, and then he did a dab, and it was just like, ah, come on, this isn't. It's not good. Like you have to do all this stuff. Like it's cool because you can pick your away uniform and all this bullshit. They try to make these like the attributes and what they're basically doing. And I get it. I get that they're trying to make it like an RPG. I understand that. But like, don't try to make the game all about this ancillary stuff, which is pretty, it's neat in theory, it's pretty cool, but when it takes away from the gameplay, then there's a problem. Like 2K, like Jeff Cerulli and I, when we were talking about Brigsby Bear, we kind of went down this rabbit hole about nostalgia, and we were talking about how the games used to be as opposed to how they are now. And it's like, when you got a juggernaut like 2K, like, it's just, it's amazing. Like, what they're doing with the player models, the uniforms, the thread count. These guys are sweating now. It's just like, Jesus, this is insane. Like, what? And then 2K is just like, we got the Drew League and we got the WNBA. Well, you should have put the WNBA. They should have did that years ago. That would have been better. That would have been a selling point to make people even maybe go to the fucking WNBA games. I don't know. It's just disappointing. And it just makes me think, how dope would it be if 2K Sports got a hold of the NFL licensing? Like, we, you know, go back to that where they dropped NFL 2K with Terrell Owens on the cover and it was like $20. Yo, if they, I think that's what EA Sports should do. Like, EA Sports should just be like, yo, this is NBA Live. We're trying to come back. Yo, this is, it's $20. It's, or at least 30. Like, yeah, you're going to buy, you, and maybe people will buy both. I know I probably would. Like, I bought Madden in 2K. It's almost like you buy Madden because you have to buy Madden if you play. But I didn't buy it last year. And 2016, I bought it. I bought Madden 16, like, during the Super Bowl because they had it for $20. But it's just like, I don't have the desire to play it. But 2K, like, yo, I'm here for it. I don't know, you guys. I don't know. Like, 2K comes out in maybe another month or so. So we'll see what happens. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I had. This will just be a really short one. I'll give you a movie review, and then we'll get out of here. So I watched this. Let's talk TV, and then talk movies, and then we'll get out. I apologize for that. Strike that from the record. So I just finished watching this morning the season finale of I'm Dying Up Here, the Showtime comedy series. I really like that show. It's a good show, but I don't hear not a lot of my comedian friends have been talking about it. Maybe a couple people. I think it's really solid. I enjoy it. Enjoy pretty much all of the characters, especially the comics. Interesting. Some like good moments. Solid show. Solid ass show. They did 10 episodes. I hope it comes back. As of right now, I saw on Deadline saying, I'm Dying Up Here, renewal decision on Showtime series coming soon. Writers working on season 2 ideas. So there's still hope for it. So hopefully it comes back. I finished The Handmaid's Tale a couple nights ago. I like that. It's super dark. And it seems like there was some hope towards the end. So that's exciting. If it seems like Handmaid's Tale is Hulu's flagship show, I'd want to say. I mean, what's that show, Casual with Michaela Watkins? I like that. I mean, Difficult People. Those are half-hour dramedies and whatnot. Casual is more of a dramedy. Difficult People, I think, is a comedy. But... what, 13 noms? I think 13 noms for Handmaid's Tale. I don't know who's beating Elizabeth Moss, to tell you the truth. Let me see who the Emmy noms. Emmy nominations 2017. Elizabeth Moss, you've heard me talk about her. I'm a fan. Let's see. Outstanding comedy series, drama series. Let's see what we got here. Supporting actress, outstanding. Da-da-da-da. Bop, bop. Okay, outstanding lead actress in a drama series. Claire Foy, The Crown. Never seen that. Viola Davis, How to Get Away with Murder. She's good in it. Kerry Russell, The Americans, Robin Wright, Evan Rachel. See, now I haven't seen I have not seen House of Cards. I have not seen Westworld. I have not seen The Crown. I would say if anybody's going to beat her this year, just on a super fit, just on a level, what do you just say? My quick and dirty guess would be if anybody had a chance to beat her, it would probably be Carrie Russell, because Carrie Russell has been killing it for about at least four seasons of The Americans. Carrie Russell's been killing it, and no love yet. But Elizabeth Moss, she is terrific in this show. She's really good. Orphan Black, I have not watched. I'm sure I've got them all on my DVR. This was the last season, so that I'll be checking out soon. Nashville, the finale came on. Nashville to me, probably the best nighttime soap in the game right now. I would say. I thought, and I have to get some. Well, I can tell you. I thought that after Connie Britton left the show, I thought the show was going to be in trouble. But it kind of, it got, after they mourned her death, they got to a place where the other characters kind of took the lead, and definitely with the Maddie character, her becoming a little more prominent in her career and all that good stuff. Like she's definitely, they're just doing better as an ensemble, even without Raina James. So it's good. But long live Raina James, though. I like that. What other TV shows? Insecure is good. They're just consistently, like, that show just, I just love how that show is evolving. It just seems like it's just a steady incline. So it's just I just watched episode 4 this morning. It's just a good ass show. Power. I'm not going to spoil anything, but Tariq is an asshole. He's the worst character on the show. Probably one of the biggest villains. Tariq, I got to tweet this and see and Facebook it to see if anybody says anything. But Tariq is the worst character, worst TV villain since Gus Fring. How about that? I'm gonna tweet that and see what people, if I get any type of reaction from anybody. But yeah, he's an asshole. Kid that has everything, just basically going to resort to a life of crime and just be a piece of shit. I think that's all the TV that I'm into right now. Yeah, pretty much. Let me look at my DVR and see what else is. I have Ray Donovan's back. I'm a ride it out, but Ray Donovan's kind of lost his steam. But they're doing something where it's like, you know, you kind of want to know what's up with a certain character, because they leave that up in the air. So there's supposed to be like some trick or some type of bells and whistles that they're doing to make you keep watching. Because I wouldn't. The only reason I'm kind of still watching episode 2 of season 5, premiered last night, and it's kind of like, oh, my DVR, my recorder still taping it. Okay, we'll see. And it's the summertime, but there's still television. I was talking to somebody at work about this, how television is not the same anymore. Where it's like during this, like September through May, you would get the new episodes of a television show, network TV, and then it would just kind of be done. Like you'd be, and it would be over. So we don't have that anymore. So the seasons, there's new television shows coming out all the time. It's just this continuous cycle of new stuff, and it's kind of hard to keep up with. The Bold Type, I've got 3 episodes banked on my DVR. I'm just in this show. The bold type is, it's definitely no Pretty Little Liars, but I'm in it for, what's my girl? It's Aisha D. Is that her name? Is that how she, is that? Yeah, it's just Aisha D. Yeah. So I'm sticking with that show because of her. And that's pretty much it. So the other characters, I really don't give a shit about. Ballers, but I'd love to play an ex-football player on that show. Okay, movies. Let's do a movie and let's be out. I'm out of here. That's a bad St. Vincent riff from the song What Me Worry. She does it way better than me. One of my favorite artists on the song, the album called Marry Me. Last record on the album. Yeah, What Me Worry. What me worry, I never do. I'm always amused and... I don't know the lyrics to... I should know it. Only fear of impending doom. Ah, that's a really good song, too. God, she's so good. Shout out to a friend of the show, Dana Omar. I was on scrolling through Instagram, and she was super, super talented musician, actress. Scrolling through her Instagram and just through Instagram, not stalking, scrolling through Instagram, stumbled upon her playing electric guitar, and it looked like that signature Annie Clark St. Vincent guitar. And I was like, yo, is that you playing the St. Vincent guitar? She's like, yeah. So that was pretty neat. Talented lass. Okay, moving, we'll get out of here. So, like I said, if you are a Patreon subscriber, sign up for the Patreon, man. Sign up for the Patreon. You get three premium episodes already off the rip when you sign up. So you got episode 231, you got Indie Corner episode 1 and episode 2, and later on in the week you'll get the homie JL Covan and myself talking about Wind River. I'm also thinking about doing like a video game review or something too, like maybe I'll try to snag Mike Brown and kind of just break down Horizon Zero Dawn and just shoot the shit about that and some video games, and we'll see what happens. I got to reach out to him. What else? So this movie, Message from the King, is this movie about a mysterious outsider traveling to Los Angeles to bring those responsible for his younger sister's disappearance to justice. This movie stars Chadwick Boseman, Teresa Palmer, who was in Lights Out last year. Solid movie. It's like straight to Netflix. It's on Netflix. It was entertaining. He plays like a South African dude. I don't know about his African accent. Because he's probably going to be doing... He probably did the same thing with Black Panther. Chadwick's a good actor. It was interesting. He was like, so this is basically a guy trying to see what's up. He's trying to find his lost sister. And there's these shady ass people in L.A. And he pretty much just beats the shit out of people with rosary beads. They're like it's got some pretty good act. You know what? It's not as good as. But it reminds me of this movie called The Limey. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie, and I think I might have talked about this, or I might have tweeted it or something along the lines. But one of Steven Soderbergh's most underrated movies, The Limey. Let's see. Let me get this here. The Limey follows Wilson, Terrence Stamp, aka General Zod, a tough English ex-con who travels to Los Angeles to avenge his daughter's death. Upon arrival, Wilson goes to task battling Valentine, Peter Fonda, and an army of LA's toughest criminals, hoping to find clues and piece together what happened. After surviving a near-death beating, getting thrown from a building, and being chased down a dangerous mountain road, the Englishman decides to dole out some bodily harm of his own. This is a movie that came out in 1999, close to 20 years ago. Good movie. It was playing on one of these cable channels, and I was watching it, and I was like, damn, that's pretty... I remember how good it was. That this is around the time where I started really being a movie nerd, like really starting to enjoy not necessarily independent film, but just really my love for movies was enhanced, and I started, you know, really nerding out about this stuff. Very good movie. It low key I thought about the Limey when I was watching this, because it's in essence a revenge flick. And I don't, Chadwick's character is not an ex-con, but he's an outsider that comes to LA to get answers, and he wants them now. So it's cool to just get him. There's a pretty good moment to, I'm not going to spoil. It's a good, interesting moment where his character makes a shift. And you know he's not going to fuck around anymore, and he's going to beat the shit out of these people with what essentially looks like rosary beads. And yeah, it's an entertaining flick. I put it on my dad's Netflix queue so he could watch it. So I recommend it. Check it out. And then if you just really want to see a black dude be a badass, rewatch Luther. I'm starting to rewatch Luther when I'm starting to feel like I'm bored. I want to watch something, but I don't want to watch anything new. Have you ever done that? Like, I just kind of want to see, you know. So I that's what I've been doing lately, is just kind of been rewatching Luther on Netflix. Hey guys, so that's it for the show today. That's it for the show this week. Subscribe to the Patreon page. There's new shit coming. Check me out on the Woke Files on Three Guys On. I don't think they're putting any new episodes up this week. So they got me. You get me for an hour and some change on Three Guys On. So thanks everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I will talk to you next time. Peace.